You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
The Dork Podcast with Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Brian Davey.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning into this special interview edition of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, and I am joined by someone who you have seen in The Wire, Saints and Sinners, and now currently on We Own This City on HBO and HBO Max. It's Trey Chaney. Trey, thanks so much for the time, man. How you doing?
Keefe, what's up, man? I'm honored, man. Thank you so much for having me, brother.
Well, no, the thrill is all on this end, trust me. First show you were ever on was The Wire, who many consider, myself included, the greatest show of all time. I'm curious, how did you get into acting and how did you land that as your first role?
Well, you know what, man? You know what's so crazy? A lot of people may not know I started off as a hip hop artist, which I'm still a hip hop artist to this day. So 8 years old, you know, you got me performing at New York City Showtime at the Apollo, winning first place 5-6 times in a row, you know, being backstage with legends like Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, Slick Rick, who are still my OGs to this day. I got pictures of me as a kid at 8-9 years old with Big Daddy Kane and Mike Tyson. And, you know, so just, you know, having the experience of being in the entertainment business as a hip hop artist, that was one thing that lasted from age 8 to maybe like 18. So I was just used to, you know, performing at different venues across the country. I'm originally from Fullsville, Maryland, Washington, D.C. But, you know, I perform at this event at 18 years old in D.C. and a woman by the name of Linda Townsend discovers me. And she's a talent manager out there. And she said, Trey, I don't specialize in submitting dancers or rappers. I only work with actors. And she said, I feel that you could be an actor because you're not stage fright. So, man, make a long story short, the first audition she submitted me for was The Wire. That was my first audition. That was the first job I booked as an actor. I was always good at remembering lines. Like, you know, I write. So I could write something down, recite it. So just me reading initially for the character Weebe, I looked at the script and I said, yo, I'm going to remember this. I'm going to memorize it. And I remember, you know, leaving out of Pat Moran's office. Pat Moran is the casting director who casted, you know, The Wire out of Baltimore. And I remember leaving out of her office thinking, man, I wonder if I got this show because this is my first audition ever. Man, they called me back. For anybody that doesn't know in the acting field what a callback is, it's actually when the producers and directors and creators are interested in you, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you booked the job. So, I remember getting a call back and first person I see in is David Simon, the creator, the master, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, this guy is, he's amazing. I see Clark Johnson, who directed a couple of the, you know, early episodes. Nina Noble, Robert Coesbury, rest in peace to him. He actually, you know, created who Poot was, you know, the name. And I read for them and 3 weeks later, I want to say, October of 2001, I was getting a call saying, hey, you didn't book Weebe, but you booked this character named Malik Pukar. And as you can see, man, I'm wearing a hoodie. The rest is history.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man, that's how The Wire came about. And I'm so honored to be on, you know, platforms like the Dork Podcast, man, just to, you know, 20 years later, we're talking about the critically acclaimed greatest show of all time, you know? And it's like, who would have known 20 years ago that I would be sitting here talking about a show that I was on?
And it was a show that seemed like it gained a ton of popularity after it was off the air. I know. For me, it was one of those things. I didn't have HBO at the time, and it wasn't until a friend of mine, the series was over, and he gives me all of the DVDs, and I watched it in like 2 weeks, like all 60 episodes, and I was blown away by it. Is that something that you guys, like, were you aware of what people were saying about the show while you were filming it year to year? Like, could you feel something kind of happening there where this was turning into really just an unbelievable show?
Well, one thing I can honestly say, and I feel that the whole cast can agree with me on this, I don't think they knew, or none of us knew, that this show would be huge as it is now. I do realize that we knew we were a part of something special because it was so authentic and it was so real, and it wasn't it was focusing on Baltimore, but so many other cities, other states across the country could relate, because like I said, it was so real and authentic. But to answer that question, I didn't have a clue, you know, what I was really a part of until later on. And then we got to keep in mind too, social media wasn't out.
Right.
You know, social media was out, but it wasn't where it is today.
Yeah. Sure. You mentioned you read for WeeBay. I'm curious if you could have played any other character. Do you have one in mind who you would have loved to have, who you'd love to have played?
Man, that's a hard one. that's hard because I love every single last one of my brothers. These guys are my brothers in real life, you know? So, man, Bodie was dope. That's my, that was my right-hand man, you know? Wow. Marlo, Jamie Hector, he was amazing. No, put it this way. See, now I'm naming every cast member was amazing. So, you know what? Whatever role that David Simon would have said, hey, this is who you're playing. I mean, just think, all of our characters are going down in history, you know?
Yeah.
My character, Poop, I'm glad I was cast for Poop because, what do you know? Poop lasted all 5 seasons.
Made it through. Unbelievably made it through. Now, was that something that each season, would you get the script and just like fly through it? Be like, does Poop make it through? Is Poop gonna survive this thing?
Hey, you getting an exclusive right now. I did that. I did that a lot. I would flip through those pages and be like, okay. Especially after we had to kill Michael B. Jordan's character, Wallace. When we did that, I was like, okay, I know Poop's dying next season. Poop might die in the next scene or the next episode. But yeah, man, just to watch, you know, certain characters get killed off or get locked up, or you know, and for Poop to change his life, you know, from everything that he's seen in the street, the story arc of Malik Pukar was what I really enjoyed at a later time. You know, I played the character, but when I really think about that character, I'm like, this guy's seen so much. He had to kill one of his friends or take him out of his misery. He had to watch his other friend get killed in front of him. He had to watch his friends get locked up, and he made a life decision, a change to say, you know what? I'm giving the streets up. I'm gonna go get a regular 9-to-5 job at Foot Locker. Which, by the way, man, I've been trying to get at Foot Locker for a minute. We need to recreate that commercial and do something big. 100%. I've been trying to do that for a long time.
That needs to be a Super Bowl commercial. That would absolutely kill.
Exactly.
Yeah. If there was a season 6 of The Wire, what do you think Poot would be doing now? You think he'd just be running a Foot Locker, or what do you think he'd be up to?
I think Poot would be married with kids. Because he was crazy about the women, but I think he would go ahead and settle down with one, and I think he would have kids, and he might be the manager of a couple Foot Lockers.
I like
it. Like he might be overseeing. He might have moved up in his career working at Foot Locker, starting off just as the shoe salesman. Now he's manager, and he's able to hire people. You know what I'm saying?
I like it. Now, you mentioned Michael B. Jordan, and obviously Poot and Wallace had a ton of scenes together in that first season, and you were young on the show, and then Michael B. Jordan was even younger being on the show. What were some of your early impressions of him, and you know, now look at the incredible star that he is?
Michael B. Jordan, I knew something was special about him. I knew something was special about him in an incredible way. You know, he was always prepared. He was always prepared. He's sharp. Even watching him now, you know, years later, 20 years later, he's still, you know, he's sharp. But he was, as a young kid, I mean, this kid was, he was sharp, man. And he always was about the work and getting the work done and showing up, being present in the moment. And we all, you know, we like you said, man, we were all so young and you know, just to be able to work with him in at that early stage, it was amazing. You know, and then his family. Michael B. Jordan was very family oriented. I know his mom, his dad, his brother, his sister, they, you know, they would come to set sometimes. So I mean, you just knew from that this kid was going to be what he is today, plus more. He's probably exceeded his own expectations, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's incredible seeing all the stuff that he's in now, and really all the actors from The Wire. And that's like what you said, like the story is so well written, but the acting is so good. It's so authentic. And another name that always pops up when people talk about The Wire, of course, is Omar, played by Michael K. Williams, you know, who unfortunately passed.
Yeah.
How did you get a chance to know him much at all? And what can you tell me about him?
Man, let me tell you something. You know, Michael K. Williams, who played Omar, and who played other amazing characters on some of your favorite television shows, films. He was my brother. You know, he supported everything Trey Chaney did. Everything. We supported each other. I loved him, man. He was amazing. And it's so unfortunate. I think about him every day. And it was just unfortunate, whatever circumstances, with him not being able to be here to see everything that not just I'm doing, but you know, all of the cast members, because we all loved Michael. You know, he was amazing. I remember, you know, a great fond memory of the last time I was with him, which was a couple of years ago out here in Atlanta, because that's where I'm based at. He was shooting Happen Leonard, and I was out here shooting Saints and Sinners, and we bumped into each other at the grocery store. We had already knew that we were both living out in Atlanta. I've been living out here, you know, for years now, but he was just out here to film. And, you know, I bumped into him. I'm like, yo, he like, oh my God, Trey here. Like, he started buying groceries. Like all these, he's like, no, I gotta cook. We gotta go back to my crib. We gotta chill. I mean, it was just, he was just spot on, genuine, kind, and he really wanted to see me win. He wanted to see me win. He wanted to see everybody that was around him win. And it hurts a little bit now, because with the experience and the hype that's surrounding me right now with Saints and Sinners, with the projects that I have with, you know, HBO Max, we own the city. I know he would have been with me on those red carpets. You know, I know he would have, because he would have loved that. You know, he always encouraged and motivated me to, you know, come on, man, keep going, keep doing this thing. And that's all I can say about him.
Yeah, well, I mean, such a huge loss. You know, it just like somebody, like, I've obviously never met him, but just watching him, and then you hear people like yourself talking about him, and just an incredible loss. He was always so good in every single role that he was in. Yeah. He, you know what? He probably would have been in We Own This City. Tell me about this. You're now playing the other side. You're now playing a police officer. So the roles have been reversed now for Poot, as you're taking on the role of Gordon Hawk and We Own the City. Two episodes in. It's on HBO, HBO Max. You can catch up quickly. New episode coming out this week. I love it. Two episodes in. I'm a big fan of it. It's got a lot of the Wire feel as well.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. Like I said, first of all, to just be in this business for 25 plus years and never giving up on my dream. And for David Simon, George Pelicanos, Ed Burns, Nina Noble, and our amazing director, Renato Marcus Green, to call me back and say, you're playing police officer Gordon Hawk, Harford County Narcotics Task Force, a police officer. I'm like, wow. Like, you know, I mean, I read for the role. I did read it. So it felt good to earn it. You know, even though these are my friends, but at the same time, it felt good to earn it. I had to read with Alexa Fogle, the casting director. I had to, you know, David Simon, George Pelicanos, Nina Noble, Renato Marcus Green, they were all on this Zoom meeting when I was reading. And for them to say, you earned it. We're casting you as, you know, this police officer, Gordon Hall, you know, and then getting on set and watching David Simon, you know, from 20 years ago, I met David Simon 20 years ago, and now 20 years later, we're all on this huge set and this powerful story about, you know, the Baltimore Police Department Gun Trace Task Force, you know, all the corruption that went on instead of them using, you know, they were using the power for the wrong reasons, you know. So me playing a good police officer, and hopefully I'm not doing a spoiler alert, but I was honored. And everything that people seen, you know, me do, I did some real research. I had the job as an actor, but it was more like being in school because I learned so much about how police officers move, some police officers, mm-hmm. you know, because we have real police officers on set. My man Dre, who I got to give it up to, always was there with me. Just like, yo, Trey, this is how they wear the gun. This is how they wear the badge. This is how they walk. This is what they would have done. This is how, you know, and I mean, even for me sliding under that truck, putting that tracker under the car, that was like choreographed in a way. And I'm going to be honest, my body was aching for like 3 days after that because I had to do it 50 times. But it was amazing, man. And, you know, this show, I can't thank HBO Max, and the whole crew enough, because not only did they cast me as an actor, you know, to play Gordon Hall, but they picked up one of my songs.
Awesome.
So I got a song featured in the scene with me and my partners, McDougal and Kilpatrick. Like, I'm like, yo, everything that I asked them for, they granted it. I can't do nothing but be grateful and thankful for that, for HBO Max, David Simon, and the whole entire team.
It's great. I can't recommend it enough. And you get a chance to talk with John Bernthal much, because that's another one of my favorites. That guy, everything that guy's in, he's great.
John, that's my man. John is amazing. Like it's so funny. I told John at the premiere, I said, John, I'm watching you, man. I'm watching you, brother. I'm studying you. And he looked at me. He said, no, I'm watching you. He said, no, you killed that role. You're good. And I'm like, come on, it's John Bernthal telling me that I'm good. You know, like, it just, the stuff that I'm experiencing in this business as an actor, like I said, still being in it, has just been amazing.
What else? We'll get you out of here on this one. What else you got going on? Obviously, we own this city. You got Saints and Sinners. I know you're busy filming stuff. So what else are you doing right now that you can tell us about?
Well, Undeniable, the Trey Chaney story documentary, Chapter One. It's on Tubi. That's my baby right now. Awesome. Like, I mean, you know, I work with the other networks, but Undeniable, the Trey Chaney story documentary, Chapter One, is documenting when I first got on the wire, you know, part of our conversation, how I started in the business. But after The Wire ended in 2008, how I had to stand on the streets of Washington, D.C. and rebrand the whole Trey Chaney brand. I sold merchandise out of the trunk of my car. I built a whole different fan base. And, you know, it talks about overcoming trials and tribulations. And it's just really how I'm speaking to you now. It's a conversational documentary. When you watch it, you know, you see legends in there, like Big Daddy Kane giving me a testimonial, Clifton Powell, Vanessa Bell Calloway, Kenny Lattimore, and so many more, you know, Russ Parr. You got all of these people speaking about how, you know, I inspired them in some type of way. Even Anwan B.G. Glover, Slim Charles, and J.D. Williams, who play Bodie, they're on it.
That's great.
I really want people, man, to just, you know, watch Undeniable, the Trey Chaney story documentary, support it. I started a YouTube page, Dedicated Father Series YouTube page. It has all Trey Chaney content. I'm sure everybody, man, y'all going to see some of your favorite cast members from The Wire on there. I interviewed J.D. Williams. Larry Gilliard, who played D'Angelo, Wood Harris. And I'm just working, man. I got some stuff that I can't speak about that I had to sign NDAs for. Like, I'm working with some big legendary stars on some television projects that you're going to see.
I can't wait. Looking forward to all of it. And again, you're on Twitter and Instagram, all that stuff at Trey Chaney. Check out the YouTube channel and everything else. Man, yeah. I really appreciate the time so much. Going back, I've been rewatching The Wire, knowing I was going to talk to you again, and looking forward to more of We Own This City. So Trey Chaney, thank you so much for the time, man. I appreciate it. Hopefully we can do this again down the road.
Man, please do. I love this. I really appreciate you, brother.